As I've said, because we've got Bishop Emmanuel here, I am going to try and keep this short, but I want to do a bit of an introduction. This whole series of talks leading up to Easter is called You Are Loved. And if you haven't already picked one up, we've got a sort of breakdown of some of the You Are Loved talk titles that are happening between now and Easter, and some of the other events that will be happening between now and Easter. We've got a couple of special events happening, including a praise and prayer evening. We're showing the Manchester Passion, a reenactment of the Passion, Holy Week in central Manchester, with lots of 80s indie music, so I love it. do pick up one of those. The reason why it's called, or part of the reason why it's called You Are Loved, is because Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday happened on the same day this year. It's also in part because Rob Jackson, our family discipleship and outreach leader, did an event here on Valentine's Day called You Are Loved. But mostly it is called You Are Loved because that everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus said, the stuff that happened at Easter was done because you are loved. You are loved by God, and that is the truth of the Easter story, and that is the truth about you. Okay, Google, who loves me?
Sorry, I don't know how to help with that.
Okay, Google, can you repeat?
I said, sorry, I don't know how to help with that.
I forgot to say, I've got the internet here with me through this little device, and it's going to help me deliver today's sermon, but it's going to be a short one nonetheless. Just in case you're not convinced that this is actually connected up to the internet, can anybody ask a question of which there's a very specific answer, and I will just quickly ask it, because I won't know. Yes, Keith. Tony, I'm Keith. I think even I know that one. What is the capital? Okay, Google, what is the capital of Spain?
Madrid is the capital of Spain.
Okay, we're live, okay? Anyway, as I went through the gospel readings, the set gospel readings between now and Easter. So these are the gospel readings that will be read in churches in Kajikeji and around the world. It dawned on me, there was a stark point being made again and again that you are loved and that that love is good. And how do I know, how do we know that God's love for us is good? Well, there's that very familiar reading from 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8. It's familiar because you hear it at weddings a lot. And it starts with love is patient, love is kind. And it ends with love never fails. And if you compare that list to what Jesus said and did, as we will do in the coming weeks leading up to Easter, you will see that his love for you is good. So in the weeks ahead, that is exactly what we're going to do. We're going to look at what Jesus said and did as he approached Easter in the light of that good love list from 1 Corinthians 13. But let's go to the Mark 1 reading. And there are five significant things that happened. Number one, Jesus is baptized. Number two, the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus as he comes out of the water. Number three, followed by that, immediately following that, the Father says, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Immediately after that, he is tempted by Satan in the desert for 40 days. Or in the desert, as I've written there. It's a different kind of temptation we all have to resist. And number five, Jesus says at the end of the reading, he returns to Galilee and says, "The time has come. The kingdom has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Now, before I go any further, a quick question for you. What do you think is the, just sort of think about this in your mind for a minute or two, a second or two. What do you think the opposite of evil is? What is the opposite of evil? Okay, Google, what is the opposite of evil?
Antonyms for evil: good, virtuous, beneficial.
Okay, Google, can you repeat?
I said, antonyms for evil: good, virtuous, beneficial.
I wonder if I ask her a third time if she'd start to get impatient. So good, virtuous, and beneficial are the opposites of evil. But it's interesting because if we look at that 1 Corinthians 13 reading, it doesn't give those as the opposite of evil. It says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And I find that really, really interesting. It's not good, it's not virtuous, it's not beneficial. Truth is not an obvious ending to that sentence. I would have written that sentence, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in goodness. So why truth? Let's go back to the gospel reading. Though Mark's gospel doesn't give us the detail that we get in the other gospels, Satan tries to tempt Jesus in every single way, and every time Jesus does not give in to temptation. What stops Jesus from resisting temptation? Okay, Google, how do I resist temptation?
Sorry, I'm not sure how to help with that.
Okay, let's go to the Bible. Being good alone cannot help us resist temptation. A lot of good people, people of good character, have failed when tested. Good people end up cheating on their partners. Good people end up shortchanging those that voted them into power. Good people end up taking advantage of vulnerable women in Haiti. And sometimes people who once were good end up delighting in evil and in the evil that they do. And being good was not good enough. Jesus is good. He's as good as they get. But being good wasn't the thing that helped him resist temptation. What Jesus had on his side was the truth. Jesus knew the truth and he rejoiced in the truth. A question for you and for her. What kind of truth makes you rejoice? What kind of truth makes you rejoice? Okay, Google, what was the football result between Newcastle and Manchester?
On the 11th of February, Newcastle played Manchester United. The final score was 1-0 to Newcastle.
Okay. Well, as a Newcastle fan, that is truth, plain and straight, and it is truth that I can rejoice in. But it isn't actually the truth that's going to help me resist evil, though it's nice to share that with you. They didn't do so well against Bournemouth yesterday. So what is the truth that Jesus knew that helped him resist evil? Let's go back to the reading. Just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descended on him like a dove. And the voice came from heaven saying, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit descended on him. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. So the truth that Jesus heard just before he was sent out to be tempted were these words: "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." What is important here is not just what's being said, but who is saying it. Jesus hears his Father, our Father, saying to him, "You're my Son, I love you, and I delight in you." This is the truth that Jesus rejoices in. It is the Spirit-fueled truth that gives Jesus the wherewithal to resist evil. He knows the love of his Father. He knows the Father delights in him. And he doesn't just know these things, he rejoices in them. And this is what I want in my life more than anything else. More of this. Do you know the difference between knowing something and rejoicing in it? I was trying to think about how that might look. what that might look like. And I wonder if this helps. Is it like the difference between looking out the window and knowing it's raining and being in the rain and dancing in a puddle? One is understood, but the other is lived out. Jesus the Son danced in the truth. He lived in the truth of being loved by the Father. Jesus was able to use these words and the words of the Bible, the words that the Father had given him to defend himself against Satan, not because he'd learnt them verbatim as a child, but because he lived in them, he danced in them, and he rejoiced in the truth of them. I think if we look at our own lives, we can see the truth of what I am saying. When we know that we are loved by somebody that matters, by a parent or a partner, we are not so easily seduced down the wrong path. When we know that to the extent that we rejoice in it, that we dance in it, that we live in it, then we don't need to go anywhere else, because we're both secure and free at the same time. I want more of that in my relationship with Christ, with the Father. Jesus resisted temptation because he knew the truth of who his Father was and the love that his Father had for him. Grace is the gift of relationship that God gives to you, though you and I don't deserve it, and it's achieved through Christ. What does that mean? It means that because of Jesus, the truth that the Father spoke to his Son, he also speaks to you and me. Because of Jesus, the Father says to you, "You are my son, you are my daughter. I love you." Is that the end of the story? No. Jesus goes on to say, "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." But it is the bedrock of the story. I did it again. I did it at the 9 o'clock. I'm supposed to have a Bible in my hand at this point. It's the bedrock of this story. That would have worked so much better if I actually had the Bible in my hand, wouldn't it? It's the bedrock of this story. The Father says to you today, "You are my son, you are my daughter, I love you. Turn, believe this good news, rejoice in it, dance in it, live in it." I want that. I want that more than I've got it now. Seems like the internet's not as good as the Bible. We're going to come to a time of prayer and intercession, and then we'll go straight from that into our final two songs and a final blessing. In Bari, which is one of the languages of South Sudan, and he gets it right every time.